Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. Police want Amazon to give up the data captured by Echo. Another line of customer routers from Netgear are dangerously vulnerable to hacker takeover. And Microsoft has contracted nearly $1 billion from the Department of Defense. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? You need hosting. One of the things about a hosting account is you don't want to have limitations put on your website.
It's true.
How much hard drive space do you have? How many email accounts? How many domains can point to it? Well, we've got an amazing deal for you. For a very limited time, cat5.tv/dreamhost. For just $5 and a bit of change per month, you are going to get unlimited website hosting, unlimited email accounts on that hosting service. You are also going to receive a free domain name.
Ooh.
So your own .com.
Nice.
To put that amazing website that you've been working on
it's
on
true.
There. If you want to build a WordPress site, fine. Sign up. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Just don't put Panama Papers on it.
Just don't do it. But hey, it's a great deal, folks. Best deal you're going to find. $5 and change per month. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost.
I'm Sasha Dermatis, and here are the top stories for the week of December 28, 2016. U.S. police investigating a murder have tousled with Amazon over access to data gathered by one of its Echo speakers. The voice-controlled device was found near to a hot tub where the victim was found dead amid signs of a struggle. According to court filings, Amazon was issued with 2 search warrants but refused to share information sent by the smart device to its servers. However, the police said a detective found a way to extract data from the device itself. The accused killer has yet to be put on trial, and it is not clear whether the information ultimately proved useful to the investigation. I would say that this news story is super important and relevant due to the fact, especially, that they refused. And I think that that's actually a safe card to play, even though it is a murder investigation. I think that you don't want to give up too much information too easily and start a slippery slope situation.
So do you think, Sasha, that this is a, like, we're protecting the integrity of our system and of the data of our customers, or do you think it's more of a marketing decision?
I think it's a marketing decision.
Do you think so?
Absolutely. I think that they will happily, if compelled by the law, share, like, if they went to court for it. But I think that they want to look as though they are protecting the privacy of people, especially
sure.
when they want more and more products in your home.
Like,
they don't just want... What is the name of the Echo? What is her name? It's a... I can't remember.
Alexis?
It's Alexa or something. I mean, they want these products everywhere.
Yeah.
And so they don't want you to think that they're going to just give you, not that everybody's a criminal, but that they're going to give you up, right? So the Internet of Things, it turns out, is a scary thing.
Can be. I think with this one, the interesting thing about this case is that we want to think that this is a good reason to give up that data. Right? Anytime they're, like, this is a criminal investigation, they may have evidence that, you know, of who it is that's responsible for a murder, and there's an Echo right there that they know is recording all the things that are being said,
right,
and saving them somewhere.
Right, but if a police officer is able to, just using the device, get the information, that's fine.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, because then you're talking, that's not compromising the Echo service, that's the built-in hard drive of the device itself.
Yeah. Right.
Right?
And at that point, if it's just the singular device, not the, you know, the web or the
cloud-based
cloud
services.
The Echo itself, it's I'd rather it just be the thing itself, like a personal hard drive or a internal.
I mean,
if
I got killed, by all means, take the recording device that's
open
sitting
it.
On my desk.
Yeah,
open it up, copy the files.
Well,
and- figure out who did this to me.
Truth be told, that's probably in the next agreement. Like, yeah. In terms and conditions, you'll probably be going to have an upgrade that you check off saying that now you're okay with if it's a criminal investigation sharing your information. But yeah. That probably wasn't already written.
Oh,
in.
Man. But see, it's such a tough thing because you're talking about this show, Dark Mirror,
yeah.
And how it makes you think about the dark side of technology being used
right.
to track things and information. Yeah. And so if I sign this document that, yeah, if I got murdered, I want you to be able to listen to the data, the right. content. But where's the legal line where, okay, well, I haven't been murdered. No, I'm suspected in something that I didn't do, but it's still a legal investigation. And I signed off on the fact that, okay, they can now violate my privacy and listen to my family.
Right.
That, you know, where is that line? That's the scary
yeah,
thing.
I mean, I know that they probably do have access to absolutely everything that's going on. If you have an Alexa device in your home, they can probably really tap into anything at any time. The fact that they are protecting that, or it's perceived protection at this point, protecting it from other people looking at it is a good thing, right? They don't want, mm-hmm. I guess Amazon doesn't want people to know that really the information is there to be had.
Yeah.
Sure. Right? And rightly so.
Right.
Rightly so.
Good job. High five. Except that in a criminal investigation, I'm happy that the person was caught without the need of the information being shared.
That's true.
Okay. Next, Netgear has downplayed the significance of newly discovered flaws in its WNR 2000 line of consumer routers.
I'm pretty sure that's the router that I have.
That is scary.
I'm pretty sure.
Tell
us about this.
Yeah, the vulnerabilities could hypothetically allow a remote attack to execute code and take over the device without authentication, claims Pedro Ribeiro, the security researcher who discovered the bugs.
Come on now.
No, truly, it's a LAN-based attack, but it can also be used over the internet if remote administration is enabled in the router, which is scary. This is what Ribeiro told El Reg. Ribeiro went public on the flaws earlier this week with an advisory after claiming he'd not received an adequate response from Netgear. Ribeiro maintains that the flaw is more serious than Netgear's response implies. Vulnerable devices are easy to find using an IoT search engine, he claims.
Right.
Also, the exploit, by its very nature, can be used to grant a hacker access to the user's internal network, placing personal files and even devices like webcams at risk. Scary stuff. Netgear plans to release firmware updates that fix the remote access and command execution vulnerability for all affected products. In the meantime, it is advised to completely disable remote management on your device. So, Robbie, have you done that?
You know what, Sasha? As I'm looking at this router and thinking about the story and what's going on, I'm thinking, who buys a Netgear router and doesn't immediately install DDWRT or Tomato? Right? Like, replace that firmware altogether and problem solved. Because mm-hmm. these routers are fantastic for running third-party open-source firmwares.
Right.
DDWRT on that router is a dream. And that's what I run. So I'm not susceptible to this because it's not a hardware flaw. It's a software flaw
right.
in the stock Netgear firmware.
Right.
So you got to look at what are you using. I suppose a consumer, like if you were to go out and buy a router, would you mm-hmm. think to change the software that it's running? Like
me? No, never. I wouldn't even think of it. Not
I
in a million
years. I
didn't
think that was a thing.
It is a thing. Absolutely. Well, because you can buy a cheap router like this guy, like $115 or whatever yeah. Canadian, and then download a firmware like DDWRT is a perfect example that you can install on that device. And now, just like reformatting your computer and installing Linux versus the Windows yeah. that comes with it, you can put DDWRT on there and you get the features of a $10,000 router.
Oh, wow.
But it's only $115.
Huh.
Because it's an open source firmware. So, and it's not susceptible to this particular hack.
Yeah.
And you would expect that, yeah, okay, it could happen. DDWRT could be compromised, mm-hmm. but they would, you know, it's open source, so I would expect that they'd be pretty quick to fix it.
So I'm sure, like, this might be a whole other show topic, but, like, how would you disable remote access?
Well, generally, I mean, a router, You need to be able to log into it through your web browser in order to change settings. Like, this is a router, it's not a modem, so you need to be able to set up PPPoE. So if you've got a DSL connection, for example, or fiber to the node that you need to be able to authenticate with a username and password, all those gibberish words are just to say, if you need to be able to put in a password, you need to be able to log into it to tell it what your username and password is. So that remote login capability is what's giving hackers the access that they need in order to compromise those devices. I'm not too sure of the nature. They're not really saying much about this, are they, Sasha, about
not
the nature of the hack?
That's part of the complaint. The complaint is that they're really downplaying this. They're not at all making it seem as significant as it is.
Yeah, and I don't know, is it that people are leaving the routers with the default username and password so people can just find these routers online and log into them?
Yeah.
Or are they actually compromising the software? And because it's a firmware update that's required, I think that there's a backdoor into the router that's giving them access.
Mm-hmm.
It could be something, we've seen it before, where some of these backdoors... And you see it in, like, in military defense installations and stuff. The IT companies sometimes deploy a backdoor into the system to give them the ability to support it no matter what the user sets their username and password to. So if somebody ever determined Batman's password, because I think that's what it was, they can get into that system regardless of whether they know the actual system username and password. So could it be an exploit like that? We don't know.
Because they won't tell us.
Because they're not telling us. But if you have that device, you need to fix that up for sure. So to answer your question, really, you just need to turn off the remote access capabilities so that it cannot be accessed through the internet.
Okay.
Pretty much that's just all. Every single time I buy anything, I'm like, Robbie, I bought this.
Can you set
what
this up
now?
For me? Yeah. I'd be like, sweet, that's a good little DDWRT router right there. Just throw that firmware on there. Tomato, tomato, whatever. Throw it on there.
All right. Microsoft just scored a big win with a $927 million, or almost $1 billion contract, to provide technical support and consulting for the United States Department of Defense, reports Reuters. I knew I was going to do it.
We just did a story on routers. We just did a story on routers.
Reuters.
And now we're doing a story that has Reuters. Oh, sorry to do that to you.
Yep. Back in February 2016, Microsoft secured a huge deal with the Department of Defense to bring the Windows 10 operating system to all 4 million of its employees within 12 months. At the time, Microsoft said it was the largest enterprise deal for Windows 10 ever. Which makes sense. Windows 10 is actually new. As that 12-month window nears its close, it seems that the Department of Defense has gone back to Microsoft for the services and tech support necessary to keep everything running smoothly amid the transition. So that's a huge, big win for them.
It's not like they need the money.
Yeah.
Well, they do. Because they're remolding their company.
That's true.
Like many companies these days are realizing there isn't money in hardware, there isn't money in software. The money is in support.
Right.
That's where you make your income. And so, like so many other things, they have to change that model, and it has to become a support model. Otherwise, they're going to fold.
That's true.
And they're, they're preempting that and saying, okay, here's a great contract. Sweet. BlackBerry making the opposite decisions, and BlackBerry now. Getting, maybe we should get into software and support. That would be smart now that we're almost bankrupt.
Oopsie daisy, as BlackBerry looks in its rearview mirror and thinks, the things I should have done.
Oh, we should have done this 10 years ago.
Well,
yeah, the money's not in hardware. Mm-hmm.
Oopsie daisies. Thanks for watching the Category 5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category 5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Dermatis.